This is the PoetryFoundation.org podcast for the week of March 19th, 2007. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, poet doctors and poet patients. There's no shortage of poems about sickness and mortality, which should be a problem for poets, right? I mean, how do you talk about it in a new way that can still move people? Later in the podcast, we'll hear a serious contender by Albert Goldbarth. But first, a poem from Peter Pereira, who sits on the other side of the patient-doctor divide. He's a family physician in Seattle. Think of all the writers who have practiced medicine. Celine, Chekhov, William Carlos Williams. I've always wondered, where do they even find the time? And isn't there a conflict between the scientific rigor of medicine and the subjectivity of poetry? Well, not for Dr. Pereira.
For me, it's all about empathy, being a doctor and being a poet. They both require the ability to put yourself in another person's shoes and to see the world from their point of view. Not really so much to feel what they're feeling, but to feel what you're feeling in response to them.
All of which is amply demonstrated by Pereira in a poem about a
skin popper.
Skin poppers are drug addicts who have injected themselves so many times they use up all their veins and
eventually have to start injecting the dope directly into their bodies. It's very sad, very disfiguring. And among the injection drug community, they're almost like lepers, considered the lowest of the low. They're shunned by the community.
Peter Pereira's poem recounts a medical consultation with a skin popper. It's called Her Name is Rose.
With a boil the size of an egg protruding from her right hip, she knows what I must do, and to stall me has locked herself inside the bathroom, bargaining for a way out. But it's too late. I've seen the oozing wound stopped up with bits of toilet paper and tape, the scarified pockets that crater the surface of her arms, buttocks, thighs. A mean fix torched her last vein years ago, and she's been banging the dope ever since, puncturing her body like a juju doll. She wants to kick, but not now. I'm not gonna lie to you, she says in a velvet voice. I already know what she's after. Something stronger than local, a few Percocet, a shot of Demerol before she'll let me begin. All I can tell you is, when the abscess finally drains, the odor is so foul, it's evil. And I'm not sure, driving home later that night, still smelling the pallid citrus, whether it's merely hallucination, the way her memory inhabits me. Or if being in that same room, inhaling that same air, made some of her part of me. And whose veins are these beginning to twitch?
Peter Pereira reading Her Name is Rose. Peter Pereira's latest book, Written on the Body, is out this spring from Copper Canyon Press. The output and range of our next poet is vast, over 20 books, in fact. Albert Goldbarth is the rare poet who can be both serious and funny.
It seems to me the more I read and the more I write that literature ultimately is elegiac at its core. Even poems that are very celebratory, poems about spirituality, poems about loud, incredibly energetic sex, ultimately poems I think want to save things down on the page with the underlying realization that they're going to disappear.
That elegiac spirit comes through in a poem called 14 Pages. It's actually only 2 pages long. The 14 pages refers to a section of a novel written by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. People still read Sherlock Holmes, but nobody reads Arthur Conan Doyle's novel Sir Nigel, which is set in the Middle Ages. Nobody except Albert Goldbarth. And he took note. A minor character in this forgotten book, one Raoul de la Roche Pierre de Bras, is introduced to us on page 192 and dies 14 pages later. That's why the poem bears this epigraph.
I am Raoul de la Roche Pierre de Bras, whose father writes himself Lord of Grabois, a free vavasor of the noble Count of Toulouse, with the right of Fassa and of Furca, the high justice, the middle, and the low.
That quote, says Goldbarth, is filled with words that were
common at one time, hundreds of years ago, would have been on the tips of everybody's tongue, that are absolutely meaningless today. And that's really the point of the epigraph, that these words have died out of existence, as all things eventually will.
The poem doesn't begin with Raoul de la Roche, Pierre de Bras. It begins with bad news about somebody's father. Then it ponders the fate of Raoul. Then it muses about his sister's colonoscopy. Then it talks about the poet's own medical procedure and his own identity. And then, echoing the epigraph, recounts some of the details of his father's life before pondering what it all means. One last thing before we hear the poem, which is 6 minutes long. Goldbarth reads like he's out for a Sunday drive. He's very slow, very deliberate, as if you can hop out at any time. But you won't. Here's Albert Goldbarth reading 14 pages.
A mini stroke. And now Amanda's father was a little figure of schoolroom paste left overnight on the sill. A sudden rain had turned him general and blurred. This was the same year that her mother disappeared, one thread of thought a day. That doesn't sound like much, but in a month, the unweaving is terrible to see. It leaves you talking to the rag left at the end of the shift when life is mopping up and ready to go. This is the common theme of common poems in every generation, and it still asks to be said in ours, how quickly. The rank and lineage that Raoul de Bras unfurls is like a banner of scarlet and inset gold, the length of a coach and six, and equally weighty. He is a squire, and the son of a knight, and in love with the Countess Beatrice, and an even bloom of courtliness and valor is as natural to his manners as is clover to a meadow. It's on page 192 that we initially meet him, and he's dead on page 205, the bolt of a crossbow driven to its socket in his neck. Is that a unit we can take away and use in application? 14 pages. Not that this provides much comfort or illumination. Wasn't Amanda's father 4 times 14 pages, etc.? Even so, we'll try whatever terminology we can in our attempts to understand the body swallowed up by time. The prep she did the day before her colonoscopy, my sister said, was just like shitting razor blades. As accurate as anything the doctor's instructional pamphlet says. And really, what else can we bring to the brink of our lives, to the line where the darkness starts, if not our language? When they rolled me into my own procedure, that's the pamphlet's word, procedure, what did I have? They'd taken away my clothes and the tether I used to keep my brain from floating into anonymity. But a voice survived. Inside, somewhere, a voice below the bullying of the Demerol. And it said, I am Albert Goldbarth, whose father signed the rent check Irving Goldbarth with the fake gold pen he earned for over 25 years of service with Metropolitan Life Insurance. He of the genuine heart and the salesman's overbearing laugh that never represented the true heart adequately. And he gave unto me the lug nuts and the hubcaps of the north side of Chicago at my birth, as well as the candle that lights the menorah and the shockingly sexual pink of the locks at Sunday brunch, the skivvies and the quilted winter long johns and the prayer shawl and the secret naughty coin for heads and tails, and the American right that even an insignificant man and his insignificant family have to go to bed with their honor intact, to walk the dog as if the night were as good in their nostrils as anyone's. It was small, as I said, a pipsqueak voice, a match that burned for a moment. And then, like any match, it was tossed to the pile of billions of matches preceding it. Why do I write? It's what I do with the portion of carbon I am before it returns to the universe of carbon that the trees created even before there were people.
Albert Goldbarth reading his poem, 14 Pages. You can read more of his poems on our website, poetryfoundation.org. Goldbarth has written many books. A good place to start might be The Kitchen Sink, New and Selected Poems, published by Grey Wolf Press. Do let us know what you think of this podcast, where our motto is...
You should never explain a poem, but it always helps, nevertheless.
Our email address is podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For the poetryfoundation.org podcast, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.